I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
Big day for Israel. Netanyahu saying this is an important moment in the war. Kamala Harris came out and spoke about it as well. I have a lot of analysis for you as the head guy of Hamas has been blown to hell. Good riddance. Welcome to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Cioli. It's going to be a busy day. That report on the Secret Service failures in Butler, how the Secret Service has become too bureaucratic and complacent. Shocking. It was a much different scenario, I keep hearing, when it was under the Treasury Department and not the Department of Homeland Security, which is a gigantic federal monstrosity. We are streaming live on YouTube for your viewing and listening pleasure. We got a lot of great audio clips for you. Kamala Harris's interview with Bret Baier last night. Man, did she try to eat up the clock. Filibustering. I guess the only thing I'm thinking is, she said she wanted to kill the filibuster, but that's literally all she did last night on the interview with Bret Baier was filibuster. So maybe she doesn't want to kill it after all. But Bret Baier came out and spoke, and he said, you know, they were eating up the clock here. I had a lot more questions for her. And at the very end, her staff comes in, and they're like, you gotta go, throw in the towel, uncle! And they got her out of there. So that's what happened with all that. I do want to jump in, though. The Pentagon just started a briefing after Israel kills the Hamas chief, and we launched some strikes against the Houthis. This is kind of a really big deal here. So let's jip this and take a listen here.
Defense Gallant to discuss the reports on the killing of Sinwar and to get an update. I would highlight that when the call occurred, the IDF was still working to confirm Sinwar's death. During the call, Secretary Austin also reaffirmed U.S. support for Israel's right to defend itself and reiterated that the deployment of the Terminal High Altitude Area Defense Battery represents the United States' unwavering, enduring, and ironclad commitment to Israel's security. The Secretary also expressed strong support for the immediate release of all remaining hostages and a ceasefire in Gaza. We'll have much more to say from the Department on the death of Sinwar very soon, and we'll keep you updated. Separately, as we announced last evening, U.S. military forces, including U.S. Air Force B-2 bombers, conducted precision strikes against five hardened underground weapons storage locations in Houthi-controlled areas of Yemen. U.S. forces targeted several of the Houthis' underground facilities, housing various weapons components of the types the Houthis have used to target civilian and military vessels throughout the region. U.S. Central Command is still conducting a post-strike assessment, so I don't have any details to provide on that front, other than to say that we struck exactly what we intended to hit. We'll provide updates as appropriate. As Secretary Austin highlighted in his statement last night, the employment of the B-2 bomber was a unique demonstration of the United States' ability to target facilities that our adversaries seek to keep out of reach, no matter how deeply buried underground, hardened, or fortified. And it demonstrates U.S. global strike capabilities to take action against these targets when necessary, anytime, anywhere. It also sends a clear message to the Houthis that there will continue to be consequences for their illegal and reckless attacks, which put innocent civilian lives and U.S. and partner forces' lives at risk. Shifting gears, Secretary Austin arrived yesterday in Brussels and today participated in a de-ISIS ministerial, the first session of the NATO Defense Ministerial, and a productive meeting of the NATO-Ukraine Council. In his opening remarks at the de-ISIS ministerial, Secretary Austin highlighted the work over the last decade of the global coalition to defeat ISIS.
All right, we can jump out of this. We'll see what will also come out after this. But it's a big deal that the mastermind of October 7th is dead. And we'll talk to Dr. Victoria Coates about that a little bit later in the show today. But it's big. It's a big deal. This was a guy who was behind October 7th. Interestingly enough, he was released in a prisoner swap many, many years ago. And it was very controversial because so many people that said, don't let this guy out. Don't do it. Don't let this guy out. And it would prove to be true, obviously. Now, the question, of course, is whether or not Mossad actually targeted him or he was killed kind of in the shrapnel, so to speak. Don't really know yet. We'll see if those details come out before the show is over today. But it's good news all around. And I imagine that former President Trump will be speaking about it, too. Elon Musk is in Pennsylvania today. He's speaking in Pennsylvania. He's doing a big tour. going out there and talking up Trump and trying to get as much support for Trump as possible. Maybe you're there. I think it may start at 4 o'clock today. I'm not exactly sure. I know that there was some conversation about me going, but I couldn't get there because obviously I'm on the air. But I think the actual event might be at, it's all over Pennsylvania today, but Philadelphia, I think is at 4 o'clock, if I'm not mistaken. Either way, Elon coming and supporting Trump, of course, causing the left to absolutely freaking meltdown. And that's something that is amazing. I mean, selling Teslas and wanting to lock the guy up because of his free speech platforms. They really, really hate Elon Musk. It's amazing. But if Trump gets elected, it's looking very good. I'm feeling very confident about things right now. The early voting's going on. The enthusiasm numbers with Republicans in the early voting is huge. So that should be something that we should be able to accomplish. The enthusiasm factor for Kamala Harris is simply not there. It's just not there. And I don't think it's going to be there anytime soon. I don't think it's going to be there anytime soon. But you know what the most amazing story of the day is? And this is from the New York Post. And it's brought to you by our buddy, Dr. Mike Vanaria. VanariaDental.com. Go see him today for your perfect smile. VanariaDental, VanariaDental.com. Yesterday at the funeral for Ethel Kennedy, there was a moment when former President Barack Obama was speaking to soon-to-be former President Joe Biden. And the two of them were speaking. You couldn't hear what they were saying because there was music playing in the background. However, you could see their lips moving. So the New York Post hired a lip reader to go in and look at the lip reading and to see what they were saying. And what Biden was telling Obama is, she's not as strong as me. And then the ex-president Obama says to President Biden, that's true. That's true. Boom. Holy cow. How does that happen? Well, I'll tell you, it's very obvious that Obama's been pulling the strings. You can see from his body language, too. He thinks Joe is an absolute effing idiot for bringing this up, knowing that people can see them talking. Biden's got that ghastly look in his eyes. Like, he still looks like he's his vice president. You know what I mean? And certain people, like, even though Biden became president, he still looks at Obama like he's the boss, because I'm sure Obama is the boss. He's been pulling the strings all these years. So here's what the president told Obama at the thing. The lip reader, in this stunning off-mic conversation, the apparent candid assessment of Vice President Harris's standing going into the November 5th election occurred Wednesday afternoon as America's two most recent Democratic presidents conversed at Ethel Kennedy's memorial service in Washington. She's not as strong as me, said Biden, 81 years old, according to the translation, which was produced by analyzing the on-video lip movements during the discussion. I know, that's true, Obama said. We have time. Yeah, we'll get it in time, said Biden, who was forced by fellow Democrats, of course, to get out of the race. Shivved out of the race like a prison schoolyard fight. Shivved out of the race. Moments earlier, Obama said it's important that we have some time together, in a possible reference to campaigning alongside Harris. The dialogue was translated for the Post by Jeremy Freeman, a London-based forensic lip reader who was born deaf and for 16 years has served as a University College London certified expert witness for litigants, the police, and journalists. Although Harris's name was not included in the transcription, it's unclear to whom else the conversation could have pertained. I mean, it's possible Biden was talking about Ethel Kennedy. She's not as strong as me. Biden could have been talking to Ethel Kennedy. This is her funeral, but Biden sees dead people all the time. So it's possible he was thinking he was literally having a conversation with Ethel Kennedy at that moment. But nevertheless, he was most likely talking about Kamala Harris because Biden doesn't want her to win. Biden wants her to lose so that Biden can tell everybody, hey, you see, I'm the only guy. I'm the only guy that could have beat him. I'm the only guy that could have beat Trump. Only person. And they never should have pushed me out of the race. So Biden saying that to Obama at the funeral yesterday is like he's looking for confirmation. You know, she's not as strong as me, right? Yeah, I know. Told you, it's like that. Well, we'll get there. Yeah, well, I don't know. He doesn't want to get there. He wants her to go down in flames so that he can sit on the beach and brag to everybody that he was the only guy to beat Donald Trump. And if you're watching on YouTube, I just did air quotes there. That's what he wants. I'm telling you, that's it. That's what he's looking for. But I got to play this. Bret Baier exposed the Kamala Harris campaign for pulling last-minute shenanigans to try to shorten the interview and delay its release. This is amazing. Actually, you know, before I get to that, let me play this for you. This is a clip I saw just before I got on the air today. It's Stephen A. Smith. Speaking of Barack Obama, since we're talking about Obama, and Obama, according to this lip exchange here, that he's going to go back out on the campaign trail for Kamala Harris, which to me doesn't seem to be helping. Because by implying that black men are misogynists for not wanting to support Kamala Harris made a whole lot of people mad. We're going out there and saying that the brothers are having a problem before he gets on his private jet and flies back to Martha's Vineyard, literally doubling the black population of Martha's Vineyard when he landed. The brothers were not happy about this, as Stephen A. Smith explains here in this clip. Take a listen.
Any further, I want you to hear exactly what this man had to say.
I'm speaking to them directly now. Part of it makes me think that, well, you just aren't feeling the idea of having a woman as president. That's not acceptable.
Respectfully, President Obama, what you said is not acceptable. Is it possible that the only reason some black folks may not be inclined to vote, or they may be a bit disenchanted, or dare I say may even be willing to go as far as voting for Trump. Is it possible that it's policy as opposed to misogyny, inflation, the cost of living, the price of gas, the price of groceries, that don't matter? Immigration and our borders, and this belief that there's an elevated level of sensitivity towards them, as opposed to black folks struggling, if not starving, in this country. Yes, that plays a role, too. When the mayor of New York was talking about $53 million in prepaid credit cards for immigrants who came across our borders illegally and having prepaid credit cards for them. And I said, wait a minute, black folks been starving for years. We ain't get that. You don't think they notice?
Boom. I'll tell you what. Boom. He's pretty fired up about it. And you know what? Good. Good. I'm glad he's fired up about it. Because it is so arrogant of Barack Obama to come from his lily white perch of Martha's Vineyard and go to Chicago or Pittsburgh or anywhere else and tell the brothers what they should be doing and to lecture them and to suggest to them that if they don't do what he wants, in some way they're sexist or misogynistic or self-hating black people or whatever else that Obama was saying. This campaign is a mess. This campaign is a friggin' mess. You know, the story of yesterday that came out in Politico. This morning I was supposed to go on Fox News with Dana Perino to talk about this article in Politico about how the Kamala Harris campaign in Pennsylvania is a freaking disaster. When the news broke this morning about the they killed this terrorist, the head of Hamas, the guy, the mastermind of October 7th, I got bumped. It happens. It's all right. It's the nature of the business. You know what I mean? We bump guests on this show. It happens. It's all good. No big deal. But I sat there for an hour, you know, waiting. So it's all right. It's all right. But I'll be back on Fox News Saturday night with Jimmy Fallon for Fox News Saturday night. But anyway, the subject of the matter was going to be the state of the race in Pennsylvania and how it's an S show for the Harris campaign. So I was asking some of my friends in Pennsylvania politics to confirm a thought that I had on the show yesterday. Do you think that some of this is Josh Shapiro pulling his punches? And the unanimous consensus of everybody I asked was yes, 100%. The governor of Pennsylvania is pulling his punches for Kamala Harris. And hey, I don't blame the guy. First of all, they passed him over for vice president because he's Jewish, which, what a bad move by them on that part. Because today, Josh Shapiro could be out there giving a speech talking about how Israel killed this leader of Hamas and how proud they should be. And he could be giving one of his phony Barack Obama style, come down from the mountains type speeches. And he would also be helping them in Pennsylvania because he's a popular governor. Now, look, I don't like the guy's politics, but I'm just looking at this as an analyst and telling you that as an analyst, he would have been a much bigger help in Pennsylvania than Midwestern goofball, oddball, tampon Tim Walz. You don't need to send me an email and tell me how terrible Josh Shapiro is. I don't care. It's not the point of this subject. The point is, you know, and I know he would have been more of a help to the Harris campaign. And also, in addition to that, since they passed over him for being Jewish. It offended a lot of Jewish voters. And then the third thing is that Josh Shapiro controls the apparatus of the state Democrat Party. So I think he's pulling his punches in a big way here. Why not? I mean, he wants to run for president in 4 years. He's on the short list now. He doesn't want to wait 8 years. If Kamala Harris wins, then he's got to wait potentially 8 years. He doesn't want to do that. He wants to run in 4 years. And actually, it's 2 years. Because I know this is nuts, but before we know it, we're going to wrap up this election, and hopefully we'll be able to have this election figured out either Tuesday night or Wednesday at the latest. I'm praying. I think we're all praying. We're going to have lots of great stuff planned for election night, by the way. I can't reveal it yet, but great conversations in the works for some fun stuff we're going to do. But anyway, hopefully we'll know soon. But before you know it, there'll be the governor's race in New Jersey in 2025. And by 2026, everybody's going to be heading to New Hampshire and Iowa to run for president. Because Trump is going to be term limited to one term, despite the left's gnashing of teeth that he's never going to leave the White House. He will leave the White House because there are many very hungry people that want to run for president. J.D. Vance will be one of them, obviously, but there'll be others. And depending on the success of Trump's administration, there'll be people that will be running either to say that they're the true heir to the MAGA mantle or that they are the opposite of MAGA. And by that, I mean Chris Christie will probably be running because what the hell else? The guy's got nothing else to do at this time. So why not? And when I say running, I obviously don't mean physically running. I mean running in the sense of campaigning. That's also an obvious statement. But before you know it, the Democrats, if Harris loses, they're also going to be in Iowa, South Carolina, New Hampshire, running for president in 2 years with the speeches and the raising money and going to the county fairs and eating fried butter. Mmm, delicious. Man, can I go for a nice stick of fried butter right about now. Anytime is good for fried butter, if you ask me. There's no time that's not good for fried butter, but I digress. The point is, the election will heat up again. Josh Shapiro wants to be one of those guys in Iowa, New Hampshire, South Carolina, eating fried butter and running for president. He does. So, yeah, he's pulling their punches. The other thing, too, is that I have a suspicion that the reason why they're not engaging the mayor of Philadelphia more, Sherelle Parker. I mean, think about it. She just got elected, but she's a black woman. Two reasons. One, she beat out all these lefty kooks. Kamala Harris is a lefty kook. Like, Kamala Harris identifies more with that whack job Helen Gim on the Philadelphia City Council than she does Sherelle Parker. Second reason is Sherelle Parker is tight with the Philadelphia cops. She actually put in a commissioner, Kevin Bethel, who's doing a great job, and she stands with the police. And so far, the police seem to be pretty happy with the mayor. Krasner's still the problem, obviously, the district attorney. But from the mayor's perspective, she wants to get tough on crime. Now, there's a lot that needs to be done. And for some of it, people are saying, all right, you've been talking a good game. Now you got to take certain actions. But I don't think Kamala Harris wants to be around a tough on crime mayor in a city like Philadelphia, because I think her people are telling her that that will hurt her in getting out the vote of the progressive kooks in the city. That's the only analysis I can come up with, because otherwise, why would you not have Sherelle Parker out there all the time as a surrogate? And the other thing, too, is that don't forget, Sherelle Parker did a video on the Friday before the announcement for who was going to be vice president. We played it on the show for you, saying Josh Shapiro and Kamala Harris. Kamala Harris and my dear friend Josh Shapiro. And she wanted Josh Shapiro to be the pick. Maybe she also feels like, screw you guys. You know, you could have gone with Josh Shapiro, but you didn't. So I'm pulling my punches, too. That's possible. That's definitely possible. Maybe she even knows deep down inside that Trump would be better for her city than Kamala Harris would be. And he would be. There's no question about that. He absolutely would be. So she'll do the kind of the basic stuff. You have to do the bare minimum. I think I read she hosted a debate watch party. We've hosted debate watch parties. Like, that's not exactly going out there and, you know, falling on the sword for your candidate. That's really, you know, we had a party at someone's house with Doritos and we watched the debate. That's what we did to help. Wow. Don't break a sweat here. All these factors going into it, because I think the Harris campaign is just off the friggin' rails. And now you've got Democrats in places like Michigan who are running away. Alyssa Slotkin, who's running for the United States Senate seat in Michigan, she's basically also running away, sounding the alarm about how bad the Kamala Harris campaign is doing. This is a CNN report featuring Representative Alyssa Slotkin, who wants to run for Senate, who's running for Senate against Mike Rogers. This is to fill a vacancy in Michigan. Now, before I play this clip and cue up cut 14, please, this is important to note. So as I spill my coffee, Michigan right now, two problems going for the Democrats. Number one is the fact that the you have a lot of people that hate Jews in Michigan. So part of the reason why they didn't pick Shapiro was they're worried about all the Muslim kooks who hate Jewish people in Michigan. Number two is the auto workers who are like, screw you and your EV mandates. I don't want to lose my job for your freaking Green New Deal nonsense. So that's another factor in this. So here, Democrats in Michigan sounding the alarm. Cut 14.
I'm concerned about all of us running.
Democrats in Michigan are running the gauntlet. As the GOP woos blue-collar voters, the war in Gaza splits the Democratic coalition, and the economy drives voter anxiety.
How nervous are you about November?
I'm very nervous.
So as she battles former GOP Congressman Mike Rogers for a key Senate seat, Congresswoman Alyssa Slotkin is sounding the alarm.
Michigan, we know what happened in 2016 when Democrats took Michigan for granted and we went the wrong direction.
Michigan could determine control of the House and Senate, and Slotkin and Rogers are in a dead heat.
Let's elect Donald J. Trump.
Even as both candidates align themselves with the top of their tickets.
When the vice president comes, you go.
Slotkin is trying to show some separation despite backing the Biden-Harris agenda.
I'm not immediately saying, rah-rah, I'm on board.
I'm not saying, rah-rah, I'm on board. You're the freaking Democrat nominee for U.S. Senate. And you're not saying, rah-rah, I'm on board? Oh, man, this is bad. Oofa. All right, we got a guest coming up straight ahead. We're going to talk about Latinos and Trump. Got a big show for you today. We'll get all the analysis of what happened with Israel from our buddy, Dr. Victoria Coates. Big show. So glad you're here. Streaming live on YouTube. Join the fun. Join the conversation. YouTube.com/1210WPHD. We're coming right.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHD.
Now remember, turn the camera on when the music starts so that I can dance to the music. So as soon as the music comes back on, camera goes back on.
Camera's on.
All right, good. And then keep the music going. We'll get a good rhythm here. All right? We got our guest. Nice. Thanks, guys. Thank you, Dan. All right, welcome back to the show. Glad you're here. 855-839-1210 on Twitter at Rich Zeoli. It's a big day for us today. Big news out of Israel. We will talk about that with our buddy, Dr. Victoria Coates, later today. I want to welcome back to the show Alfredo Ortiz, president and CEO of Job Creators Network. Follow him on X at Job Creators USA. What's up, my friend? How are you?
I am doing great today. Just waiting like everybody for election day to be here.
Is that coming up? I hadn't heard.
Yeah, I think so. I want my TV back.
Are you throwing things at it during Eagles games too?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
We're doing that mostly because of how the Eagles are playing, but also because of all the campaign commercials. So it's two factors for us here in Philadelphia.
Yeah, but... you got the 1-2 punch out there.
Yeah, I'll tell you what. Sunday was, I think my a buddy of mine put it best when he said it was mediocrity at the link. I thought that was a good way to put it. So let's talk about the Latino support for President Trump. There was an article in the Philadelphia Inquirer recently. They were talking about working class neighborhoods just in the city of Philadelphia, not the surrounding counties, but just in the city of Philadelphia, and how the Democrats are losing working class voters. And so they're looking at neighborhoods like Port Richmond and South Philadelphia, North Philadelphia, and they're finding out, okay, in the Northeast, they're finding out, well, you know, they're losing these working class neighborhoods. And the only areas they're making gains are in Center City, where you've got kind of the white, lefty, college educated types, and the Latino right. population in the city going in Trump's camp in big numbers. And that's following a pattern we're seeing across the country right now.
Yeah, no, it absolutely is. You know, if you think about what's happened since, you know, Biden went into office and the Biden-Harris administration really took over, I mean, prices are up 21-22% overall. And some of the things are just absolutely out of control. Like, I just got my insurance renewal, for example. And I go, was that ever this? I look back, I go, it's doubled in 2 years. I mean, doubled. I mean, it's like literally crazy, right? And so people, in terms of, you know, rent checks and their mortgage checks and insurance checks, grocery, gas, everything's sky high. But think about who it's really impacting the most. It's really impacting, you know, our working America really the most. I mean, those liberal, you know, I come, you know, elites on the coast and stuff like that in D.C., they don't really, like, feel it. They know it's there, but they don't really feel it, right? And they say, of course, they say everything's going great, and you listen to the press conferences coming out of Kamala and Biden, and they're saying things are going great. And I guess they just believe that if they say that enough times, the American public is going to believe it. It's kind of like, you know, if I tell you enough times that I'm 6'5", you know, blonde, blue eyes with a six pack, you're going to believe it. It just ain't happening.
I've used that line before many times. And then when my wife met me on the first date, she went, you know, you don't look anything like your profile picture. Because I use Fabio as my profile picture. But that's, you know, for another show.
Yes.
You know, the other thing, too, is I think the Green New Deal, which Tim Walz today said he's still in favor of the Green New Deal. I think that the climate kookery on the left has pushed working class people over to the Republican side of the aisle. I mean, how the hell can you be an auto worker in Michigan knowing that the left is embracing EV mandates and it's going to cost you your job, or a guy who works in fracking, or any of the other hundreds of thousands of people that benefit from fracking in Pennsylvania? And you're going to go on in some leap of faith that Kamala Harris has really changed her position on banning fracking. There's no way in my mind working class people trust Democrats now because they've embraced this climate kookery.
Yeah, and absolutely. I mean, all along they've been talking about, you know, all these different things and banning, you know, gas stoves and your dishwashers.
Yeah.
And I mean, you name, right? I mean, they're like basically banning everything that, you know, taking us back to the Stone Age almost. And, you know, then all of a sudden, what, Kamala's for fracking now? I mean, supposedly, I mean, this is ridiculous. Here's what I tell her. Shut the frack up.
You scared me for a minute. I was hovering over the dump button, but well done. Well done, Alfredo Ortiz.
You like that? Yeah. I remember it's a family show, so don't worry.
It's good. Very good. Alfredo Ortiz is with me. He is the president of the, maybe laugh, CEO of the Job Creators Network. Excuse me. President and CEO, Job Creators Network. Yeah, shut the frack up, or as Trump puts it, frack, we're going to frack, frack, frack. I love what he said the other day. We're going to frack, frack, frack. And you got frickin' frack over there with Harris and Walz. And that's the other thing, too, is you know, putting Tim Walz out there to try to get men to support Kamala Harris and Tim Walz. It's just laughable. That video they put out there, it's like, you know, I'm a real man and I'm backing Kamala Harris. And you find out these are all paid actors. And
or even funnier, it's Kamala's husband. I mean, that's even funnier. I mean, you know, like the Doug guy is like, I'm a real man.
You know? Well, he's a real misogynist, apparently. That's for sure. He's actually a real one, not a fake one. But, you know.
Yeah, exactly. But no. I mean, this, look, it's you know, it's crazy. I mean, in Pennsylvania, I mean, look, you guys get it, right? I mean, you guys actually get it. You know what's going on. I mean, I don't think, you know, you guys buy the bull that's being, you know, put out there because that's what it is. It's just a bunch of bull. I mean, and I'm not going to say the other part of it because it is a family show, but, I mean, it just really is, right? Or Biden always says it's a bunch of malarkey.
Yeah.
I mean, it really is. They really should get an award for the best fiction stories, because the fiction stories that come out of that Jean-Pierre, whatever, you know, White House press secretary and the rest of those folks out there in the cabinet and, you know, all the way up to the president, it's just what it is. It's just fiction, right? I mean, but we all know when we go to grocery stores and we go to our gas pumps and we see the prices we're paying. I mean, I don't know about you, but I mean, I can't even afford a turkey sandwich anymore. I mean, the other day I went into my grocery store and it's $15 a pound now for turkey, you know, for a pound of turkey. I mean, it's just ridiculous.
Yeah, you order a turkey sandwich, you go, hold the turkey. You know, just
like, exactly. Exactly.
You had a piece recently in the Daily Caller. Want to know how bad the Biden-Harris economy really is? Just ask small business owners. So you did. You asked them. You talked to them. You talked to them all the time. What do they say?
I mean, they are dying from inflation. I mean, they really are the ones that have been hit really, really hard, because they're getting it from both sides, right? They're getting it from a cost perspective. Costs are just out of control on every single aspect, right? But then also from a customer perspective, because customers can't afford stuff anymore, right? They're maxed out on their credit cards. We're at $1.3 trillion, record high credit card rates. our savings rate's nationally at half of what they used to be, at about 4%. People are, you know, delinquencies on cars now are at record numbers. People are tapping into the 401ks. 8.5 million people are now working two jobs just to try to make ends meet. And I bet you a lot of your listeners out there, they're working two jobs just to try to make ends meet.
Yeah, it's bad. It really is amazing, too, that they try to lie about the numbers. And I think there's a lot of things you can spin in life and politics, but you can't spin what somebody's actually paying at the grocery store. And I mean, I do the shopping in my family and I see it all the time myself. And what I find fascinating is watching the behavior of consumers in the meat aisle, because I step back sometimes watch as they're looking and they're scanning. Whereas you used to see people just walk over and grab something and put it in their cart. And now people are spending, especially when it's busy. Like, I went into the store the other day. It was Sunday before the Eagles game. It's the worst time to ever go, but I needed an ingredient that I didn't have for my pizza. So I had to go into Wegmans and it's packed, right? And so the meat aisle is very busy. And I see that everybody's taking their time. And I'm realizing what they're doing is they're trying to figure out what is the best cost option for them to feed their family. And it's a different mindset. I've started paying more attention to that. And I also, what I do is when I check out, I ask the clerks, you know, I talk to them. I say things like, my God, you know, this is amazing how expensive it is. They go, yeah, we can't believe it either. They also have to buy groceries, the people that work at these stores. And yet the left tells us all the time that this is just some evil cabal of grocery store executives who are all colluding to raise prices, and nobody can figure this out and undercut anyone in the grocery business. Nobody can figure this out, how they can undercut and be the one that everybody shops at their store because they've decided to lower prices. It's a lie. I don't think people believe it, this price gouging nonsense, that this is some sort of evil plot. I think people see through it.
Yeah, no, they absolutely do. And we actually debunked that whole price gouging thing. I actually come from a consumer product goods, you know, background, because, you know, frankly, I know exactly how that works. These guys are barely making margin. I mean, if you look at what they're actually making, I mean, they're barely getting back to the point where they're actually making a profit, because the cost of everything is so high. I mean, if you think about it, from labor to energy to the actual, you know, just delivered costs. I mean, think about gas. I mean, we've gone up 50%. Those poor drivers out there, you know, the truck drivers, they're having to pay that much more. So they're having to pass those costs on. I mean, every single aspect. So the fact that the only policy idea that Kamala Harris has to try to address inflation is, oh, we're going to take on price gouging. There's no price gouging going on. I mean, this is the most ridiculous, obscene thing, absurd thing I've ever heard coming out of her mouth. And there's a lot of things that come out of her mouth that are absurd. That one tops it all.
Last thing before I wanted to ask you, Alfredo Ortiz, while I have you, when you think about the Latino vote and immigration as an issue in terms of the economic impacts of this, not only for the cost of services to deal with the illegal immigration influx, but also the idea of jobs and the idea of jobs that are coming. I don't know who it was. It was Bette Midler or Barbara Streisand. Somebody came out and said, you know, if you deport all these people, who's going to bag your groceries and cut your lawn? You know, another typical, usual, obnoxious, stereotypical thing that somebody on the left says. But the Latino voters gravitating towards Trump's economic message are also doing this, I think, because they've seen the economic impacts of the illegal immigration issue and they want it to stop.
Yeah, no, absolutely. And the thing is that, look, it's a supply and demand issue, right? So when you have a lot of cheap, you know, supply there, I mean, it brings down the wages of American workers. And so, look, one of the best ways to get wages up for American workers is, quite frankly, to address the inflow of illegal immigrants. And so it is an impact on the economy, because you do have a lot of, you know, stress on demands of goods and services. And that's just a reality. And there's also a lot of just our taxpayer dollars are going to fund, unfortunately, these people being put up in hotels in New York Times.
It's like $1.2 billion in Pennsylvania alone when you add up all the services involved in dealing with this, just in Pennsylvania.
I mean, that's just ridiculous. I mean, are the vets getting that, right? I mean, our veterans who have fought for our freedoms, are they getting the $1.2 billion? No. I mean, it's just talk about just a ridiculous aspect. I mean, you know, hey, take money from me and give it to the veterans any day, but give it to an illegal immigrant? That's not right.
No, no, definitely not. Well, thanks, my friend, for joining us. I appreciate it. You always provide us with some good insight. Follow or Alfredo Ortiz at on X at Job Creators USA. Job Creators USA. Thanks, my friend. Appreciate it.
Absolutely. Thank you. Bye-bye.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
All right. So the Kamala Harris interview last night with Bret Baier, Bret Baier saying she stole time from us and she filibustered a lot. I'm going to get into that with you in the next segment. You're going to want to hear some of this stuff. I got some good analysis on this for you. And the left is melting down. Little Brian Stelter in his prepubescent voice saying that it was a hit piece. It was a hit job against Kamala Harris. Look, another factor that we have going in this country right now is crime. Obviously, it's a big issue. It's a big issue right here in our area. I saw a story the other day about the increase in home burglaries that are on the rise in posh suburban neighborhoods. And business owners are feeling this as well. Safety, security is on everybody's mind. And if you are a business owner, it's even more of a priority. This is your business. This is your livelihood. So you need my buddy, Tom McCausland. You need McCausland Lock and Alarm to secure and control access to your facilities. McCausland Lock and Alarm's access control and CCTV systems provide top-of-the-line protection, giving you peace of mind and safeguarding your assets. Look, you can get these systems from a lot of people. You can get them online. But here's the difference. There's only one Tom McCausland. His wealth of knowledge, his expertise is going to make sure that this is specific to your business. This is not a cookie cutter thing. It's not a one size fits all thing. Your business is unique. The solution is unique. McCausland will effectively protect all types of facilities, no matter what the environment. And just as important, their customer service is unmatched. You're never going to get one of those, you know, you call up and you're lost in the abyss of press this number and that number. You're going to get a local expert, probably Tom himself, to help you. And that's a great thing, too. So if you are serious about protecting your facilities, and you better be in this day and age, you need to seriously consider McCausland Lock and Alarm. Just call Tom, 610-430-1500. 610-430-1500. McCausland Lock and Alarm. Securing your business, securing your future.
The Rich Cioli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
What was that promo you just played? What did I just hear, Justin?
That was Fela.
He's on our station now?
I think that's what I heard, if I heard correctly.
7 to 10? Goodness, what is this world coming to? Welcome back to the show. Glad you are here today. 855-839-1210 on Twitter, X, whatever the hell it's called, at Rich Cioli. Cioli Show on Instagram. And I'll be on Fela's Saturday Night Show this Saturday night on Fox News. So the car is booked. What are they sending me this time? You curious? Let's see. Is this interesting? What kind of car they sent me? It's kind of cool, right? Let's see. Got my confirmation here from Benz International. I'm getting the Adobe Clay car. Well, that's nice of them to send. That may stain. That may stain my outfit. That's a damn shame. Actually, they're sending me a broken down NJ Transit bus. Very nice of Fox News to do that for me. That's the VIP treatment I expect. Damn it, that's right. That's how we do it. That's how we roll. All right, Kamala Harris's interview with Bret Baier last night. She was filibustering a lot, and she ate up the clock. And that was her entire strategy. I'm gonna get into that with you in the 4 o'clock hour. But a couple top line thoughts on the state of the election that I just wanted to mention as far as Pennsylvania goes. I had a call yesterday with some energy executives in New Jersey who have great expertise with New Jersey and Pennsylvania politics. And we were talking about a number of different things. And one of the takeaways, and these are all incredibly knowledgeable people, decades of experience in politics and the energy sector. Here are the two takeaways based on who wins the presidential election. If Kamala Harris wins, you can expect that the left is going to go hard on the Green New Deal nonsense. They're going to go all in because they're going to think that they won in spite of her saying she wanted to ban fracking. That she won if she winds up winning Michigan. And again, I don't think she's going to, but I'm saying this is why you have to make sure she doesn't, because what they'll do is they'll turn around and go, oh, you see, You see, the EV mandate didn't hurt us in Michigan. You see, talking about banning fracking, it didn't hurt us. We can, and they're going to go forward with it anyway at that point. At least a moratorium, something. And all the other kookiness of it, what they'll do is they will interpret the election win as a win because of the inflation, I'm using air quotes here, Inflation Reduction Act. Now, the Inflation Reduction Act was a scam. It was a green energy scam baked into a bill that was misnamed the Inflation Reduction Act, all right? It actually caused inflation to go up. But the bill was all about so-called investments in infrastructure for green energy. And that's what they're going to claim. They're going to hang their hat on that and go, you see, that's why we won. So now let's go forward with the green energy nonsense. By the way, Elon Musk is going to speak at this pro-Trump event in 4 o'clock. I'd like to take it live so we can hear some of it. That may happen, I believe, a little bit after 4 o'clock today. Have we figured out how we can stream on the stream? Like how we can stream something on the stream so that people can watch it with me side by side? Do we know how to
do
that yet?
We're still working on that.
What, Kirk?
We're still working on it.
Working on it. We got our best people working on it.
Yes.
Because, I mean, it's going to stream on YouTube from the Trump account. So why don't we just stream it? You know what I'm saying? Like stream it right from Trump's own website or whatever. You know what I mean? Does that make sense? If you have, you know where to put the link, right? Kirk?
Yeah.
All right. So if they stream it live on their MAGA War Room or their website or whatever, you just plug that link in so people can watch it then theoretically, right?
Correct. That is what's being worked on.
All right. Let's try it. Let's see if we can do that. Let's see if we can pull that off. I mean, if we can't, we can't, but you know, we'll try it. And that could be kind of fun. It'll be an experiment. We don't grow unless we try. And why do we fall?
We get to play the fun game of will they curse again, and I'm going to have to hit the dump button.
Yeah. Yeah, well, Elon's big on working blue. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
Why do we fall, Bruce? So we can learn how to pick ourselves back up. Batman Begins. That's right. One of my favorite lines from Batman Begins. When his dad says to him, why do we... Anyway, so we'll try it. We'll see if that works. This way you can see it and not just have to stare at me while you're hearing audio. When it's a visual thing that you could also be watching. All right. So that's what we're going to, that's gonna be our goal for the 4 o'clock hour. Maybe baby steps involved here. It's all right. We're good with it. We can roll with that. But before we get to that, though, let me just play this clip for you real quick. This is a good one. And it'll set the stage for our next hour. It's Brett Baer talking about how the Kamala campaign pulled last minute shenanigans to try to shorten the interview and delay its release. This will set the stage nicely for the next hour. Cut number two.
You know, when the kicker in football, they call a timeout right before he's going to kick the field goal. They're icing the kicker. So we were supposed to start at 5 p.m. This was the time they gave us. Originally, we were going to do 25 or 30 minutes. They came in and said, well, maybe 20. So it was already getting whittled down. And then the vice president showed up about 5:15. We were pushing the envelope to be able to turn it around for the top of the 6 o'clock. So that's how it started. And I could tell when we started talking that she was going to be tough to redirect without me trying to interrupt. I did this with President Obama. At one point, I just said, Mr. President, I know you like the filibuster. I just didn't even have the chance to sometimes redirect in those ways. I had a lot of other questions.
Yeah, she ran the clock, and then when she did answer, she filibustered. That's exactly what happened. It's 100% what happened. All right. Independent panel issues scathing report on the Secret Service and says Butler could happen again. We'll get into the details on that with you. Kamala Harris is filibustering. Elon Musk set to speak in Pennsylvania. It's a big show. We're streaming live on YouTube. Join the fun. We're coming right back.
The Rich Zeoli Show on Talk Radio 1210 WPHT.
I'm Sally Helm with the podcast History This Week. In each episode, we serve as your eyes and ears into history's biggest events and the lesser told stories, ones you might not even know happened. Find History This Week on the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.